welcome to this second season of Disrupting Stigma, formerly known as Mental Wellness Life. I'm changing it to Disrupting Stigma, basically because the amount of audience that I'm getting to with both of these different names is a little bit different. So Disrupting Stigma to me can mean so many different things, but you know, all I talk to you guys about is being self-aware and this whole journey of knowing yourself and knowing what you feel and what your, you know, head is doing, what things are presenting and tracking for you. And so it just made sense to change it to Disrupting Stigma. And I hope that you like that journey that we're going to go on. I also realized that, well, I mean, it's been a few months since I have put something out. And, you know, it just became, I had a lot to learn from. I started this podcast as a one-sided single human being, one-sided story, right? And I kind of got caught up in the how to do a podcast and do I need to interview people? Is that, you know, how I'm going to get more audience and more listeners? Well, it showed me that actually when I started doing that with the interviews and with other people, that my listenership went down a little bit. So I'm going to keep it real and just be myself and go back to the roots of what really got this whole movement, this podcast going. It's just me being fucking real, just real and raw, right? I'm going to definitely be available to be a guest on other people's podcasts. And I have done that quite a bit over the last 6 months. And I'm going to be talking on stages. I just did a talk couple weeks ago. And I talk about technology, entrepreneurship, and mental health and how we keep our sanity. And it's been an interesting convergence of all three of those things. The reason why I called this episode Pandemic Adjustment is, of course, because of the pandemic that is happening right now in our world. And I want to talk to you about adjustment disorder, something that I think, you know, I've told you guys this, I say it in every episode, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a doctor, I am not, you know, anything close to that. I'm just somebody living with mental illness and living with what I'm trying to kind of get to people nowadays is this idea of whether or not you're presenting with mental illness. If you have symptoms, because it's not something that, you know, from what I understand from my life, from what I'm told by my therapist and my doctors is that it ebbs and flows just like a bipolar manic episode. You kind of can go back and forth. You can be presenting with it one day and then the next you have, you know, basically no symptoms. And so that's definitely happening with me lately is that my symptoms are pretty low. I will say this. In the last week and a half, before even all the cancellations of events, I had a big conference come up, canceled at the end of the month. I mean, you guys all know this, right? All of your stuff's being canceled. But about a week and a half ago, I hit this really big funk. And I know it has to do with some mistakes I've made in business and some things that I've had to decide to get out of. And it's been really, really difficult, very stressful. And this idea of adjustment disorder, which I'm going to read you the definition. Really, I think everyone deals with this. It's just that there's no name for it. The reason why I like diagnoses is that there's a name for it for people like me who are, you know, computer nerds, right? That's a motherboard if you didn't know. And, you know, for us nerds, I like logic. I like the things that make sense. And when somebody says to me, you have this thing on this scale, it helps my mind to understand and like go forward. Some people think diagnoses are, you know, just kind of like random in the ether of space. And that's fine too. Really, what it boils down to is, what are you going to do to feel better? And that's what I'm trying to do right now, is just get the fucking information out there, because we need to say our shit. I had a conversation with a guy, I don't know, a week ago that I literally just met over Facebook. And, you know, and he said to me that he deals with depression and all that. And like, he listened to a couple of the episodes of my podcast, of this podcast. And he said, you know, it's really admirable. It's amazing that, you know, you can put yourself out there. I could never do that, is what he said. And it made me realize that this is very isolating and it's really a lot to put yourself out there, but it's also extremely liberating and cathartic and all of the things, right? Therapeutic. And when we start talking about it and disrupting the stigma is when we heal and when we come together in camaraderie. If we keep like going like this, like, oh, I'm not going to talk about my depression, I'm not going to talk about my anxiety with people, that just makes us more isolated. And that's interesting what's happening with this pandemic and all the social isolation, the social distancing can be very, very difficult in these times. So I know what happened was over the last like week when all these things kept getting canceled and I was kind of, you know, in my home. I work from home, so that's not a problem. I can do all of these things from home. I can still do my education and teaching people about websites and all of that. I can do all that from home. So I don't feel, you know, anxious about all of that. But you kind of do get a little claustrophobic, a little bit of cabin fever. And that can be very anxiety ridden. Just the idea of like, you don't know what's happening. So I want to read you this, it's from Psychology Today and it's about adjustment disorder. And I've told you in the past, and maybe if you are just now tuning in, I have lived successfully with mental health diagnoses, my mental illness diagnoses for my entire adult life. I've been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, bipolar type 1, panic disorder, and adjustment disorder. So like all the disorders. My joke is that if I get one more, I'll have Yahtzee. I said that on stage, got some laughs. I liked it. Okay, adjustment disorder is when a stressful event in someone's life prompts a lengthy and extremely or excessively negative reaction. That person can be considered to be suffering from adjustment disorder, which is typified by anxiety, difficulty moving forward, and reckless behavior. Similar stuff to like what bipolar looks like as well. Adjustment disorder, sometimes referred to as situational depression, which I think you guys have probably heard before, is an abnormal and excessive reaction to an identifiable life stressor. The reaction is more severe than would normally be expected and can result in significant impairment in social, occupational, or academic functioning. The extreme response may be linked to a single event, a flood, a fire, marriage, divorce, starting school, losing a job or starting a new job, or to the concurrence of multiple events, such as marital problems coinciding with difficult business challenges. Stressors may be recurrent events, such as a child repeatedly witnessing his or her parents fighting, or continuous, such as living in a crime-ridden neighborhood. And I'll tell you that when I was first diagnosed with adjustment disorder, it was a few years ago, after kind of a very messy breakup with a client. I had a contract as a web developer, and I made a huge mistake. I made a really, really big mistake and lost the contract. And it was definitely this life stressor, in the sense that I wasn't expecting that from myself. I wasn't expecting that mistake. And so it turned my life on its head. And for about 3 months, I blew through all my savings and literally spent this entire summer at the water park here in town with my kid. And as fun as that was, I mean, I blew through quite a bit of money to, you know, and didn't work. So And during that time, it was really, it was a lot of avoidance. It was a lot of depression when I wasn't like at the water park and doing like fun things, when I was just at home kind of going, oh my God, what am I going to do? I can't believe I screwed that up. I fucked it up again, you know? And sometimes I deal with the adjustment disorder symptoms or presentations when I was dating over the last, like, well, I don't know. Like, getting ghosted can really fuck a person up. We'll get to that in another episode. So I want to keep going. So adjustment disorder, remember, is like, it's situational. If something happens, even if it's like a good thing, it's starting a new job or it's, you know, getting married, it's still stress. It's still like this impactful thing that happens in your life at a specific time. Adjustment disorder often brings on depressed mood, anxiety, norm violating or inappropriate conduct, or other maladaptive reactions such as problems at work or school, physical complaints, or social isolation. See, and this is being used as a, you know, these are issues with a mental disorder, a mental health disorder that they're now asking us to do during this pandemic quarantining, right? It is social isolation. That's what's, it's almost like we're creating this disorder by way of having to quarantine ourselves and isolate socially. Okay. Adjustment disorder is associated with increased risk of suicidal behavior and substance abuse, as well as the prolonging of medical disorders or interference with medical treatment. When it persists, it may progress into a more severe condition, such as major depressive disorder, which is scary as fuck. I have never had that. I know people who have had it. It is scary as fuck. Adjustment disorders are common. The percentage of individuals... I want to say this, okay? Like, I'm sorry to cut that off, but major depressive disorder is so harmful to your life because... it's people can like literally knock it out of bed. At least with bipolar and mania and anxiety, I am like awake and like getting things done and making money for my family, which is me and my son, right? Like at least that. I've always thought that to myself, like, oh, lucky me. If I'm going to have a mental illness disorder, I'm, you know, glad to have something that gives me energy. Anyway, and more about that another time. Adjustment disorders are common. The percentage of individuals receiving outpatient mental health treatment whose principal diagnosis is adjustment disorder ranges from 5 to 20%. In hospital psychiatric consultation settings, it may be the most common diagnosis. You've probably never even heard this, right? You hear bipolar and anxiety and PTSD and depression. Anxiety or adjustment disorder, it may be the most common diagnosis, frequently approaching 50%. The symptoms are these. Adjustment disorder involves the development of emotional or behavioral symptoms in response to an identifiable stressor or stressors occurring within 3 months of the onset of the stressor and lasting no longer than 6 months after the stressor has ended. Remember, this is like really, it's like short term and it can kind of come up over and over. Like, obviously I have a problem adjusting to bullshit. I mean, that's, or my own mistakes, because over the last couple of weeks, I've realized I've made a few pretty big mistakes that are going to cost me money at this point. But I, you know, I'm always talking about how failure is such a big part of business and such a big part of life to be able to learn from it. I'm trying to teach my kid that, you know, it's scary, but failure is the only way to move forward and to learn about what to do next. But it's also sometimes crippling. You remember that crippling anxiety and crippling chronic insecurity? That's what happens. So according to the DSM-5, the symptoms of or behaviors must be clinically significant, typically evidenced by one or both of the following. Number one, marked distress out of proportion to the severity or intensity of the stressor, right? Taking into account the external context and cultural factors that might influence symptom severity and presentation. Number two, significant impairment of social, occupational, or other important areas of functioning. Again, we're sort of forcing this on people right now. So it's like you're not going to be able to fucking avoid it for sure. The distress or impairment associated with adjustment disorders frequently manifests in decreased performance at work or school, or in temporary changes in social relationships. This happens all the time with breakups. It's just to what degree and how are we going to deal with it so that you don't fall out of like functioning as a member of society, right? Further, the stress-related disturbance does not meet the criteria for another mental disorder and is not merely an exacerbation of a pre-existing disorder. The symptoms also must not represent normal bereavement, like someone died and you are grieving, essentially. Adjustment disorder symptoms can vary widely, though, and one challenge to diagnosis is that the person experiencing the symptoms may not be aware of the stressor which brought on the disturbance. Individuals from disadvantaged circumstances tend to experience higher rates of stressors and may be at a higher risk for adjustment disorders. This is cool. This is the treatment. And I feel like this is so like useful right now in this crazy time of like apocalypse, right? The primary goal of treatment for adjustment disorder is to relieve symptoms and to help an individual achieve a level of functioning comparable to what they demonstrated prior to the stressful event, right? Right now it's pandemic. Recommended treatments include individual psychotherapy, family therapy, behavioral therapy, and self-help groups. All of those things can be done online, right? Self-help group right now, I'm seeing a bunch of Facebook groups going around that people are really helping people. Realistic short-term goals should be established at the start of therapy as the course of adjustment disorder tends to be short-term in nature. Here's one thing that, I mean, it keeps going about like, you know, therapy and like being with people. And what I want to really get across is that even when we're socially isolated, right? Right now we're being quarantined. You can still reach out and talk to people. One thing that I saw in this group the other day was that this guy gets together with three or four of his friends, like on a Zoom call or on a phone call, and each of them takes 15 minutes and talks about like all the good stuff in their life. They're not allowed to talk about bad shit. They're only, you know, they're only allowed to talk about the good stuff. And I think that's really, really important for people that are dealing with anxiety or with situational depression, is that you can still reach out. You don't, I mean, that's the beauty of what, of the time that we live in, right? The beauty of it is that we can still talk to people. We can make a phone call. We can be, you know, you can watch this video at any time and feel close to people. At the talk that I did a couple weeks ago, I talked about how we need to destigmatize screen time and technology. Obviously, you guys know that I'm a super nerd and I love technology so much. Like, you know, I stood there saying to people, don't be afraid of it. Don't vilify screen time. And, you know, how many people have kept up with old friends or family or whatever, and it in a matter of minutes, and it just fills you up, you know, just love technology, especially now when all we want to do is connect with people and it's super isolating. Go for a walk. That's the biggest thing today, like in Boise, Idaho, where I'm at. You know, it's usually really gray and gross out at this time, and it's been very sunny for the last like week or so. And I get out and walk the dog. You know, there's nothing saying that you can't go outside. You need to quarantine yourself in your house, but there's nothing saying that you can't take a walk. Literally, I just went out in the backyard. If you can see right there, I just went out in the backyard and stood in the sun, and the dog kind of ran around, and it was lovely. Get that vitamin D. And like I said, just keep in contact with people, because we need to be vigilant about how this is going to make everyone feel and how this is going to make the world turn on its head. We can still be compassionate. We can still be nice. I don't know if I've ever told this story on the podcast, but I think I'm going to use it as much as possible. I always end my talks with this, and it goes like this. In high school, my best friend at the time's grandmother developed pretty severe Alzheimer's and was in a home. And her mom would go in every day and brush her hair and you know, do her makeup and just love on her. She loved her mama. And I remember thinking, this is why grandma won't go peacefully into the night, right? Because her daughter's there, like, doing her hair and makeup and, like, sustaining her and giving her a reason to stay. And then after about 5 or 6 years of this happening and grandma never speaking a word, she sat up, put her hands on her daughter's face and said, just be nice. And then passed away peacefully. And that, my friends, I believe is the true meaning of life. Just be nice, because everything else is just noise. I even have it right there. If you're listening on the podcast, behind me on my shelf is a little painting type thing that says, just be nice. And I really do believe that that's the true meaning of life. And that's the way that we combat depression and anxiety is being compassionate and nice to each other. And this doesn't mean saying yes to everything. It doesn't mean saying no to everything. Like it just means when all else fails, just be nice. It doesn't take a, you know, quantum computer program to figure this out. It doesn't take rocket scientists. Just be nice. And like one of my very close friends, Megan, who does improv and talks about the idea, she was on my last episode. We talked about this, talking about the idea of yes and. And it has definitely changed my life a lot, because it's really just an acknowledgement. You say yes to the person that you're in a conversation with, just as an acknowledgement. Doesn't mean you agree. You are just acknowledging it. And then you can offer more information or have a, you know, an honest conversation about something. But I just want to say that this process, it's been a year since I started this podcast, and it's been a lot of work. It's been draining and overwhelming. And, you know, I've gotten some incredible feedback. I feel like I wouldn't get bad feedback, because that just makes somebody look like an asshole. So maybe there's people out there that think that like what I'm doing is just ridiculous and that I, you know, some sort of self-serving, but I really don't care. Like if that's the shitty way that somebody wants to feel, then that's their deal. Like then they can do a podcast about not being crazy. I don't know. So I think it's been really cool. I have so many that are already recorded. They'll be coming out once a week now, and just in smaller format, usually about 20, 25 minutes. If I can, you know, keep myself from talking more than that. But I'm going to talk about everything from why I don't discuss suicide, why I think that the efforts being put into suicide prevention are futile. I'm going to talk about online therapy. I'm going to talk about what post-traumatic stress disorder is for me and why trauma is really, I see it everywhere. It's everywhere. It's everyone has had trauma. And unless we talk about it openly, it's never going to go away. We're never going to get better as a human race. I'm going to talk about my biohacking adventures, because now I'm doing neurofeedback and hydrogen therapy and all these cool things that I've been able to do because of this podcast, because of this movement. So that's going to be really, really cool. I'm going to talk to my friend and one of my business partners, Katie, that does my neurofeedback and does that for my son as well, who, if you've listened to the rest of the episodes, was I interviewed him for the episode of teenage depression. And hopefully, cross your fingers, hopefully he will agree to talk about the anxiety attacks that he's been having and what we're doing to combat that. So I really, really hope that you will stick around, stick with me. I know that it's been a few months since I have, you know, seen you or that you've heard me. I am doing a thousand other things, but this is very, very important to me. So I'm going to do the best I can. And I will see you on the flip side. I hope that you take care of yourself and each other.